Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will read the Gospel from St. Luke and read and discuss the Word of Life for October. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Quality Catholic books, religious gifts, framed art, and so much more are available at the OLCC bookstore on the grounds of Our Lady of Corpus Christi Retreat Center, 1200 Lantana. You know where it is, near the intersection of Interstate 37 and North Padre Allen Drive, where you see the church with the blue dome. Just drive onto the property and follow the signs that lead you to religious books, statuary, rosaries, religious articles, framed art, crucifixes, and more. The phone number is 361-289-0807.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
I'm very well for the beginning of October.
I know. So happy they were in October, and hopefully with October we'll have some cooler weather.
That's all of our hope, I believe, I think, for everybody.
It definitely is. Yeah. As I mentioned in the beginning, our gospel this morning is from St. Luke, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
This is from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 17, for this 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your servant who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here immediately and take your place at table'? Would he not rather say, 'Prepare something for me to eat. Put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink. You may eat and drink when I finish.' Is he grateful to that servant because he did what was commanded? So should it be with you. When you have done all you have been commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what we were obliged to do.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Bishop, I think I told you before we started this, this was a little bit of a difficult gospel for me to understand, so I look forward to having you explain it to us. And in the beginning, the Lord says, "Increase our faith." So how is it possible for us to increase our faith?
Yes, well, you know, when you think about what is faith, faith is not a measurable commodity, I think, for us. If you say, "Increase my gas tank," well, I know how much to put in, or increase the groceries on my shelf. Well, we can see that. We can touch that. We can realize that. But faith is something that is a gift. It's something that is personal in each one of our lives. But when the apostles are asking to increase their faith, it's in faith in what the Lord is saying and who he is. It's a faith based on their relationship with Jesus. I would imagine that this far into the gospel in the 17th chapter that the apostles had been with Jesus quite a bit. They had heard him. They had seen what he had done. And obviously, what he had done came from a relationship with his Father. Jesus would say, you know, and throughout the Gospels, "My Father and I are one. I have come to do the Father's will, not my own." So faith, in sense of Jesus' humanity, was a relationship with his Father. Mm-hmm. And so when they're asking to increase our faith, they're really asking to increase our relationship with you. Because only God can give faith, and only can faith operate through a relationship of love with God. Love God and love your neighbor. So Jesus uses this rather imagery of the size of a mustard seed. Just you need a little faith. In other words, even a little relationship with Jesus, and speaking for us, even to have a little relationship. And that doesn't mean following a few commandments and doing a few acts of, you know, piety and things like that, which we normally associate with being religious people. But Jesus is asking for more than religious people. He's asking for people with faith, which means their willingness to hand over to God even the destiny of their own life. We like to control our life. How many of us are willing to turn over that that gift that we have so that we may, you know, do what God wants? And so what Jesus is explaining here is this little, just that little bit of faith, relationship with God, you can do miracles. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing for me is the second part of the gospel.
Right.
Who among you would say to your servant who has just come in from plowing and tending the field, come here immediately and take your place? No. Rather, he would say, prepare something for me to eat. You can eat later.
Even though you've been working in the fields all day.
So what kind of a relationship is that?
Right.
That's a relationship of hierarchy. It's a relationship of almost fear. You know, the mm-hmm. servants fearing losing their job or fearing whatever they did in those days,
right.
When with a disobedient servant. So it's instilling fear. And when you think about it, how much of our relationships are based on a hierarchy of superiority? I remember as I was preparing this, I thought of a teacher in my first year of teaching in high school many years ago. I kind of said to one of the more seasoned teachers, after a couple of weeks, I said, how do you control these kids? It just seems like I can't get control of the class. And she looked at me very sternly, and she said that the secret is, now you may have to wait till next year, but the secret is do not smile until after Thanksgiving, which means you show them who's boss.
Right.
And when you think, sometimes we have that attitude when we are in a position of authority or we're in a position of running the show, even parents.
Right.
You know, I'll show you who's boss. And so what kind of a relationship is that? It's one of fear. It's one of anxiety and probably not much productivity either.
Right.
So when they're asking about faith and he's telling them, if you just had a little bit of faith, and we're talking about relationship, then we go down to the example of the master and the servant. That's not the kind of relationship that we have with God. We may create that kind of a relationship with God, but it's not the relationship that Almighty God, our Father, wants with us. So later on, it's saying, you know, the humility, we are unprofitable servants. We have done only what we were obliged to do. So it's the attitude of the servant in faith. But I was going to point out that in another gospel, it says that the master comes and sits down at the table with them. So we can't just limit ourselves to what we see here from St. Luke. But in another gospel, it was about the Lord coming and sitting at table with them. And when we're trying to build up faith, when we're trying to build up a new relationship with Almighty God, think of it in those terms, that he wants to come and sit at the table with us. It doesn't mean he's less God because he does that, but it means that there is a relationship there which is valuable, such as with the teacher. I mean, I didn't really pay attention to what my friend said, but it did help me to see that I do have to be who I am. I have to be a teacher. I have to have control of the class, but it doesn't mean that I have to lord it over them or take measures that would make me look like a bully in front of these kids simply to have them sit in their chairs. So relationship is the key to much of our faith life, to much of our prayer life. when we enter into prayer, which is one of the highest forms of acts of faith, it is entering into a relationship with the God who loves us, and learning that because if our faith life is really based on commandments and laws and obedience, kind of a servile obedience, right, we're never going to enter into a relationship. So I think that's what Jesus is getting at in this this parable here. If you have the smallest relationship, because a relationship can grow, and I think that's the point, just the smallest mustard seed, but that relationship can grow. I hope your relationship, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I hope your relationship with God has grown since you were in second grade.
Oh, very much so.
And it grows because of many things that happen in our life, but we become to trust more and more and more, and God becomes more a friend, our father, etc. And that's the growth in faith.
Well, and you mentioned the word that I've been thinking about since you've been talking about this. He wants to be friends with us, and he wants us to consider him a friend.
Yeah. Yeah, he wants us to depend on him, but not in the sense that that I cripple myself in my talents and abilities, but he wants me to know that I can do great things, like move a mulberry tree with that faith. Because most of us would never believe that we could do anything that is beyond what we think we can do. But God sees potential in all of us. Like even forgiveness, you know, sometimes I could never forgive that person. Well, with faith, you could. You know, if you had any kind of a relationship with God, yes, you can forgive that person. Yes, you can start over. Yes, you can do that project if you have that faith, because the faith that he's speaking of can move a mulberry tree, which is huge, mm-hmm, into the ocean. So with that kind of faith, with that kind of relationship with God, we can do great things.
Mm-hmm. And so we just, you know, and we've talked about this before so many times on this program, that we just need to spend quiet time with God so that our faith does grow and then we become friends with him.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, faith and prayer is operative all day long.
Right.
It certainly, you need that time of quiet prayer. You need that time to recollect ourselves. But then we see that in action throughout the day when we're encountering people, when we're encountering our work, our difficulties. We need to know and understand and welcome the Father to be with us all day long. In that, I just heard recently, this morning, that prayer is like our clothing, mm-hmm, that we put on our clothing, which is a relationship with God each day, to put on that clothing of prayer and an attitude of prayer all day long, then we can do great things.
I like that, clothing of prayer.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing for us to remember. Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will read and discuss the Word of Life for October. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Each of us is called to holiness through baptism. Once we experience God in our hearts, we yearn to bring him closer. Deep prayer allows us to do that. Making a commitment to develop a deeper prayer life is a major step in that process. Our Lady of Corpus Christi Retreat Center invites us to experience a personal encounter with Jesus through a 3-day silent retreat to communicate with God in complete silence. This affords us the greatest opportunity to know him, his heart, and his will for each of us. Separate silent retreats for men and women are scheduled approximately every other month at Our Lady of Corpus Christi Retreat Center. For complete information and to sign up for the next silent retreat, visit deepprayer.org. Start your journey now at deepprayer.org.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. With this being our first Sunday in October, we have another wonderful Word of Life for October.
Yes, it's taken from the second letter of St. Timothy, chapter 1, verse 7. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. The letter from which this Word of Life is taken is sometimes considered to be St. Paul's spiritual testament. The apostle is imprisoned in Rome and awaiting sentence as he writes to Timothy, who is the young disciple and his collaborator in charge of the complex community of Ephesus. The writing contains recommendations and advice addressed to Timothy in particular, but applicable to every member of the Christian community both yesterday and today. Paul is in chains in prison because he has preached the gospel, and he encourages the disciples to face trials and be a safeguard for the community, even though Timothy is afraid of persecution and hesitant because of the difficulties involved in his ministry. It would not be in Paul's or Timothy's nature to suffer for the gospel, but such witness is possible because it is based on the power of God. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Paul wants to bear witness to the gospel. It seems clear that it is not talent, ability, or personal limitations that ensure or hinder the ministry of the Word, but it is the gifts of the Spirit, strength, charity, and prudence, that guarantee the power of witness. If charity lies between strength and prudence, it facilitates discernment and, together with prudence, is manifested in our being wise and ready when faced with any situation. Timothy, like disciples from all ages, should proclaim the gospel with strength, charity, and prudence, even to the point of suffering for its sake. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. We too may have felt the temptation to become discouraged in living and bearing witness to the Word of God, and we may have been unsure how to deal with certain situations. Kiara Lubick helps us to understand where to draw strength during such times when the gospel commentary... Kiara Lubick helps us to understand where to draw strength during such times with this gospel commentary from 1988. Quote, "We must appeal to the presence of Jesus within us. The best attitude is not being passively resigned to the situation and feeling blocked by it, but moving beyond ourselves and carrying out what is required by God's love." She continues, "This means facing the duties with which our vocation calls us and relying on the grace of Jesus within. Jesus himself will develop in us the virtues that we need to bear witness to him when carrying out a task that has been entrusted to us." End quote. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Strength, charity, and prudence are the three virtues of the Spirit that are obtained through prayer and exercising our faith. Father Justin Nari, who is from the Central African Republic, brothers from his order, and close to 1,000 Muslims were taking refuge in a church in an attempt to escape violence from the war going on around them. They received death threats, and on several occasions, the militia leaders who were besieging them asked Father Justin to surrender. Yet he continually tried to dialogue with them in the hope of avoiding a massacre. One day, they showed up with 10 gallons of gas and threatened to burn everyone alive if they did not hand the Muslims over to them. With my confreres, I celebrated Mass for the last time, says Father Justin, and my thoughts turned to Kara Lubick, and I asked myself what she would have done in my place. She would have stayed and given her life, and that's what we decided to do. After Mass, there was an unexpected phone call. The African Union Army was passing through the region and was in a nearby town. Father Justin ran to meet them, and together they returned to the parish. There was just 13 minutes to go before the ultimatum expired. 13 minutes that saved the lives of all those people.
Wow. It's a pretty powerful word of life this month. That, as I read through this previously and then listening to you read it, the gifts of the Spirit, I see the strength and charity, but I don't recall seeing prudence in there.
Well, prudence is a cardinal virtue, so it's not just has to be, it's just part of being human. The human is created with the virtues of prudence as well.
Right.
So, in other words, prudence simply means that don't be stupid.
Right.
In other words, you want to do something, but you have to also be prudent if it'll give scandal or if it'll create more problems than before. So when we do things, we also have to be prudent. Like we may, want to, just all sorts of examples. If we want to help somebody who is falling and we just, I'll fall with them so I can catch them on the way down, well, that's not prudent.
Right.
So there's just things like that. So it's kind of a natural, which is augmented by faith to live that. So to live charity and so these virtues, strength and charity and prudence, to live those together. And I think this example shows that. Sometimes, and I think we've all experienced, and I've experienced it of recent, where there's a situation that you know you have to address, you don't want to address it. You think, if I don't address it, for example, in speaking to someone or maybe having to forgive someone or to solve a problem, if I just sit back and let it happen and not and get involved, it'll just go away. Mm-hmm. And that's the passive way, which it says here, is not what the Lord wanted. If God said, I'll just let them figure it out itself, humanity, they've messed everything I did in creation, they've messed it up, and I'll just let them kind of play it out.
Mm-hmm.
But no, he intervened with his son. He sent his son.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us, it takes that strength of the Spirit. So it's not just human strength in facing these issues that we may have to as a mother, as a father, as an employee, as a priest, as whatever. It takes that inner strength of faith to say, and also a discernment of conscience, that I have to do this. This is what I'm here for. But to do it also charitably, not as a bully. And I think this example that's here, whoever these troops were, they were trying to be bully and come in with guns and
gasoline
and all these things. But to do it with charitably is what this Father Justin did is to try to go out and talk to them, to understand that we're all brothers and sisters, whoever we are. But also with prudence, to know that there's over 1,000 people that I have to be attentive to as well. So you have to judge all of these things in trying to resolve things or to try to build up better relationships with people. So I saw somebody that I have been wanting to speak to about fairly serious matter, and we happened to end up in the same room together, just the two of us, and I really felt inside just speak to the person. And so I went over and just spoke, asked how they were doing. I said, I'd like to visit with you sometime, and the person was very open to it. So those kind of things, we have to listen inside and not to be shy about if we're doing what God wants us to do and we are trying to build up relationships or to help someone, then not to be afraid. mm-hmm. to not act, or to think that not acting will just help it go away.
Right.
So it doesn't. So
which it doesn't. And I think that's where the word strength is, because you have to have the courage.
Yeah, the inner
to be
the
able to
strength,
have those to be able to have those interactions or conversations.
Sure. Yeah, the courage, of course, is a gift of the Spirit. So it's yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I marked one particular paragraph in here, and it said, "If charity lies between strength and prudence, it facilitates discernment, and together with prudence is manifested in our being wise and ready when faced with any situation."
Yeah.
So that brings the three together.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, I think, well, I want to do it, and I've got the strength to go do it. And then to do it with charity also helps us to use prudence in doing it. So it's not rushing in. It's maybe studying it a little better. And because I want to be charitable, it brings those other two together. So it's a really a beautiful sentence and thought to think that those three of strength, charity, and prudence, and charity moderates or mediates the other two.
Mm-hmm. It really is. So another wonderful phrase for us to pray over and ponder for the month of October.
Right.
So if you could end our session this morning, Bishop, with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. Almighty ever-living God, who in the abundance of your kindness surpass the merits and the desires of those who entreat you, pour out your mercy upon us to pardon what conscience dreads and to give what prayer does not dare to ask. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless all of us and bless this day in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.